Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 6:45, quarter till 7 on another foggy, miserable morning, at least as far as I'm concerned. Do you think anybody likes the weather like this? I can't imagine who would. Even if you're from England, I don't think you'd like it because at least it's cool there. Highs of 80 degrees today. It's January 15th. A 20% chance for showers. I guess the fog will eventually burn off as it does. Highs of 73 tomorrow, so it cools off a little bit. 70 on Friday, and it really clears out and cools off on Sunday with highs of 59 then. And it really does turn cold on Monday night, Tuesday morning. You're talking about lows of 28 on the North Shore. So that's a fairly hard freeze, I guess, depending on how long it stays under 32, and then 37 on the South Shore. Just to be clear here, we were kidding around about Drew Brees earlier, but per NFL rules, Drew's contract doesn't technically expire until March 18th at 3 p.m., which is the NFL deadline, and why they chose 3 p.m., I do not know, but that's the way it is. So here's the deal. We have these tickets coming up, and I was rushing through it before. So just so you know, if you love the Beatles, and I don't know who doesn't, you can win tickets to Liverpool Legends, and that is the complete Beatles experience that happens Friday night, 8 o'clock at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. We'll have tickets to give away, a pair of tickets every hour when we play the Beatles Song of the Hour. Now, a lot of Beatles tribute shows are out there, right? But this thing, Liverpool Legends, the musicians were and actors were handpicked by Louise Harrison, who is sister of the late George Harrison. They're going to perform songs spanning the entire career of classic early Beatles and the black suits and the little skinny ties and the mop haircuts to the psychedelic era of Sgt. Pepper. And the final years all the way through Abbey Road. Liverpool Legends, a complete Beatles experience. You can win tickets today on WWL. We'll have a pair every hour all the way through 10 o'clock. And the Beatles song this hour is, Tim, tell me I forgot. You're going to lose that girl, all right? John Glazer joins us now. Talk about this Iran situation, director of foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. Good morning, John.
Morning.
As it relates to the so-called nuclear deal, I think the Europeans now are saying that they're not going to honor their part in it, or the Iranians squirted them first, which is a golf term for betting, saying that, no, we're going to break the deal with you as well. Where does that all stand now?
So what the Europeans have done is said that they're going to employ the dispute mechanism in the deal, which they were supposed to do if one party violated the deal. Now, the United States violated the deal when it backed out in May 2018. Mm-hmm. Iran continued to comply for a full year after that. But lately, they've been making calculated violations in an attempt to kind of get Europe and China and Russia, the other parties to the agreement, to make sure they get their side of the deal, which is economic benefits. And so now that Europe is saying we're going to employ this dispute mechanism with Iran, it could mean that it further hurts the JCPOA. It could mean that it pushes it further away from salvation if the next president wants to embrace it. But we'll have to see how it all plays out.
We hear so much about the pallets of cash and so forth. To be clear, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was their money that we froze, correct, that we were releasing?
That's right. They had assets that were frozen and that would have got to them anyways. We had them frozen up as a part of our overall sanctions regime on them since 1979, and we unfroze those funds for them.
Did we have an obligation to do that, or was that just a decision made by the Obama administration, in essence, part of the negotiation for the nuclear deal?
You know, I actually don't know the origin of it. It came up as part of the deal, I think, because the Iranians wanted to they wanted their funds. They thought that they were frozen unfairly, and they wanted their funds. You know, most of it was paying off debts and this kind of thing. I think that the idea of this has been used by opponents of the deal to suggest that Iran has somehow benefited financially and then will use the money to fund terror in the region or something like this. That's hardly what we saw. We didn't see an uptick in Iran's regional misbehavior after the deal. We saw them kind of sit back. So, the core part of the deal, the thing that is important, is all of the technical limitations that it put on the Iranian nuclear program, which now Iran feels unobliged to comply with because the United States walked away.
We're going to pick it up here when we come back. First of all, if you've done any research, and I know you have, John, but for those listening, it is not as simple as enriching uranium or not. You almost have to be a nuclear physicist to understand exactly if they're violating the agreement or not. I also want to talk to you about this UN Security Council deal that they had with a weapons embargo with Iran that's set to expire this year, and what could that mean for the region, for us, the world, et cetera. John Glazer, our guest, Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. More when we come back. Right now, though, time for WWL traffic. 6:56, 4 before 7, talking to John Glazer, Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. So, John, you know, when it comes to truth and absolute truth, I was watching Fox News, Chris Wallace, Sunday morning. I think it was the National Security Advisor Director was on, and he was talking about the Iran nuclear deal, and he also threw in the fact people have to remember, too, that in 2020 the arms embargo ends. And he seemed to make it sound as though that was part of the deal, and it's not. It's two different things, right? However, it is set to happen in 2020. Explain what that arms embargo is. Is it going to expire, and what could that mean?
Yeah, it's supposed to expire in 2020 of this year, and it was part of – it was a sort of a side deal from the JCPOA. And, you know, it means that Iran might be able to buy tanks and fighter jets where previously and up to now the Iranians have been restricted by international sanctions from engaging in those kinds of purchases.
So as it relates to the offshoots of Europe now saying, I guess, would it be wrong to characterize it as Europe now has said, or any other people that have signed the treaty are saying, that's it, it's over, we're back to having no deal?
So the Europeans have not gone that far. What they've done is employ the dispute mechanism in the deal. So that's part of the deal. They're abiding by the deal by saying, Iran, now you violated it. And there's supposed to be a whole process of what happens to confirm violations and then move on from there. And so they are still, I think, holding out hope that the JCPOA will survive. So employing this dispute mechanism does not go as far as, hey, forget the deal. Same thing with Iran, by the way. Iran has made calculated violations, and ever since we ratcheted up the pressure on them, they've continued to violate the deal. But they still say, hey, the overall deal is still in place. If everyone else wants to bring themselves back into conformity with it, we will too. So they're still allowing inspectors and stuff like this. But, on their side, they're saying, hey, if the United States doesn't have to abide by this, neither do we.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your time. John Glazer, Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Let's congratulate Janet DeGrazio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.